Hi, this is Stuart Weems, and welcome to the Investopoly podcast. My goal is to give you simple, easy to understand strategies, insights, and tips to help you master the game of building wealth. And in this episode, I'd like to talk about how you can help your kids get into the property market. Now, according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, first home buyer activity has increased by about 51% since March 2016, that's through to July 2019, so circa last 3 years or so. And now first home buyers account for just short of 20% of all new home loans. So whilst housing affordability has improved slightly recently because firstly interest rates are low, and also, you know, there's been some price corrections, I guess, over the last couple of years. It's still difficult for children to get into the property market. So what can you do as parents to help them do that? And should it form part of your own investment strategy? So really, there's two things that are going to determine whether a child can get into the property market. The first one is cash flow. And so that is, you know, do they have a stable enough level of cash flow to be able to afford to make loan repayments? And so that's really has two components to it. The first one is around their income. So do they have a stable source of income? And typically that really translates to a permanent full-time position. And then secondly, do they spend less than they earn? So do they have a good savings pattern, or are they spending all their income, in which case then it's very difficult to ascertain whether they can afford the loan repayments. So that's the cash flow element. The second element is deposit. And I think deposit has always been and will always be probably the biggest hurdle for first home buyers. So most banks will lend up to 95% of a property's value to a first home buyer. So that means that the child needs to save at least 5%, a 5% deposit. The next thing they've got to pay for is mortgage insurance. And mortgage insurance typically costs 3 to 4% of the loan amount, so it can be a pretty considerable fee. Some banks allow you to add a portion of that mortgage insurance cost onto the loan, so that's up to 2%, but there's not a lot of lenders around that do that, so there's the mortgage insurance that's going to come out of their cash. And then thirdly, any acquisition costs, which could include stamp duty, depending on what concessions there might be in the state that you're purchasing for first home buyers, whether they use a buyer's agent to help them select the right asset, and then obviously legal fees and balancing items and so forth. So typically a first home buyer needs to accumulate a pretty sizable deposit, you know, if they're going to buy in a capital city location and a good quality property, and that can take many months and years to save, over which time property prices continue to climb, or at least that's the risk. And most first time buyers can't outsave the property market. You know, that is, the prices typically increase at a faster rate than their savings do. Sometimes clients, so should it form part of your strategy? Because sometimes clients talk to me and say, look, one of our goals is to help our kids. And what we were thinking was to go and buy, we've got three kids, so let's go and buy three properties. And that way we've got one property for each child. The first thing that I would say, so some fundamental flaws with that approach. So the first thing I would say is that best way you can help your children is to help yourself first. So that is, if you can focus on your own financial situation and build your own financial asset base, that then you're going to put yourself in a position where you've got lots of opportunity to help your children in lots of different ways. And the reality is, it's going to be very difficult to ascertain, one, when will your child be ready for your assistance, and two, what does that assistance look like? Is it a gift? Is it something else like a family guarantee, which we'll talk about in a second? So really focusing on building your own asset base is key, and ultimately, in a roundabout way, will allow you to help your kids in the future. Buying a property for notionally for each child isn't really a good strategy because how is that child ever going to be able to use that property in terms of use it to build their own financial situation? Well, the only way that they're going to do that is if you sell or transfer the property to them, or you sell the property down the track. That's going to give rise to stamp duty and or capital gains tax as well. So it might sound like a good idea on paper, or theoretically, but there's some downsides to it. Also, if you go and notionally purchase one property per child, properties in different locations will grow at different rates at different times, and then you'll be left with the requirement to potentially equalise the differences in growth rates as well. And lastly, as I sort of touched on, it's very difficult to know when a child's going to need your assistance. Some people learn very good or have very good financial disciplines from a very young age, and some young adults take many, many years to learn them and to demonstrate that sort of the willingness to take on the responsibility of a mortgage. So it's very difficult then to really build a plan around it. And if you change your own investment strategy a lot to suit just to suit, your children, you might end up regretting it in the long run. That is, you might forgo some benefits and so forth. Now, I think there's things that we can do well before our child's ready to enter into the property market. And we all know that kids learn a lot from their parents through observation and experience, and a lot of it is subconscious as well. So it's really good to openly discuss the principles of money management. And you don't have to obviously disclose your own personal details to do that, but really just the mechanics of decision making and the fundamentals, really. So, how to budget, focusing on value for money when you're spending and or considering spending, talking about the fact that financial goals typically take some level of sacrifice, and effort to achieve them. Not everything is easy and simple, and that patience and delayed gratification are really critical elements in order to build long-term wealth. These are the sort of concepts, I guess, you can talk about at the dinner table with children from quite a young age, and then hopefully you kind of, in a way, indoctrinate them with some sound financial concepts, which that hopefully will make that a lot easier when it comes time to buy a property, and also makes it maybe they'll be more in tune to listen to and take your own advice as well. I don't mean this point to sort of come across very preachy. I'm not telling you how to raise your children. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that there's le important lessons that we can impart many years before our child is ready to get into the property market. So how do you know when your child is ready to enter the property market? Well, the first thing is that they've, in my mind, have to communicate or show a genuine interest in investing in property. Very difficult to motivate people to build wealth if they're not internally motivated. Typically, it fails, it doesn't work. So if they're when they're ready, they'll talk about property or they'll talk about buying a property. And then secondly, once their cash flow position is such that you and them are confident that they're ready to take on the responsibility of a mortgage and they can fund that, then I think they're good to go. And I would say that the sooner they can get into the property market, naturally, the better outcomes for them in the long run. So they're the two things that you really want to look for is stable cash flow, ability to be able to service that mortgage, and then obviously showing a genuine interest into getting into the market. Once those two signs are there, bang, I'd be all over it as a parent to try and counsel them into making a really good quality decision. What way can you help them? Well, I think by far the best way to help a child is through a family guarantee. So a family guarantee is really a way of you adding additional security for their loan. And I'll go through an example in a second, but essentially what it means, it gives you two benefits really. The first one is that they don't need to save as much of a deposit to get into the property market. So as I said, often a young person's ability to save is outpaced by property growth, so at least that's the risk as well. So, if it takes 2 years to save a deposit, by the time you actually get the deposit, you probably need more money because property prices have gone up. So, providing a family guarantee allows them to get into the market a lot sooner. And secondly, depending on the amount of security you provide, you can reduce the loan-to-value ratio to 80%, which means they don't need mortgage insurance. So, that's a significant saving, which is a one-off cost. Of somewhere between 3 and 4% of the loan amount, that can be a significant saving for the child. Okay, so how does a family guarantee work? Well, essentially, what you're doing is providing supplementary security and you provide a limited guarantee. So let me give you an example. Let's assume your child wants to go and buy a property for $600,000 and they have $10,000 of savings. So, they need to borrow $590,000, they're not going to be able to do that. It's too high a loan to value ratio. So for the sake of the example, let's just ignore any cost to make it simple, and let's assume, in fact, we want them to go and borrow 600,000, so 100% of the purchase price, so that they can save the 10,000 or retain the $10,000 worth of savings as a bit of a buffer. So if we go and approach a lender for a loan for $600,000, essentially what we will say to the lender is we're going to offer you two securities for that loan. The first one will be the property that my child is purchasing that's worth $600,000, and then I'm going to offer you a limited guarantee for another $150,000, and that $150,000 guarantee will be secured by my own property, whether that's a home or investment property, either or, it doesn't really matter. So therefore, the total security for that $600,000 loan is $750,000, being the property plus your limited guarantee of $150,000. Now, because we've got $750,000 of security, the loan-to-value ratio is 80%. We don't need mortgage insurance. Now, in the fullness of time, if and when your child's property's value increases over time, and/or the loan balance reduces with through repayments, we can go back to the bank and allow them to release the guarantee. So once the, for example, in 5 years' time, when your child's property is worth over $750,000, the property's value by itself will be enough to secure their loan, even if they haven't repaid a cent. And therefore, you don't need the guarantee anymore. So, let's talk about some pros and cons with this approach. So, some of the advantages are it's not going to cost you anything. So, you don't have to dip into your own nest egg to help them. You can still keep going, progressing with your ability to build your own wealth. The only money it's going to cost you is some legal fees, because the bank will want you to get independent legal advice. To make sure that you're fully informed. The second advantage is it puts the onus of responsibility fairly and squarely on your child. They have to still qualify for the $600,000 loan, so they've got to prove to the bank that they've got enough income and their living expenses are low enough in order to meet those repayments. So it still lets your child stand on their own 2 feet. The property, there's no problem with ownership and so forth. The property will be in the child's name. It'll be nice and clean, so there's nothing to do in the long run. And also, another advantage is that typically these arrangements are short term. So in the last 17 years of running ProSolution, I can't recall any one family guarantee arrangement that's been in place for longer than 5 years. Now, excuse the pun. Of course, there are no guarantees. So, if the property's value doesn't change and your child doesn't make any loan repayments in terms of principal loan repayments, then theoretically the arrangement could remain in place for the term of the loan, so another 30 years. But practically, and particularly if we help our child buy a good quality property, typically, practically, historically, even they've been in place for 5 or less years. Lastly, the provision of a guarantee shouldn't reduce any of your flexibility. So sometimes we've had comments from parents to say, "Oh, look, well, I want to downsize my home in the future. If I provide this guarantee, will that impair my ability to do that?" No, for the most cases, it shouldn't impair your ability to deal with that asset. You'll need to move the guarantee onto another property. So if you downsize, you just swap it over to the new property. But typically, you should still have full flexibility. Of course, it really does depend on your own individual circumstances. So you should get some advice in relation to that. But I've not seen a situation where it reduces a parent's flexibility. So of course there are some cons associated with providing a family guarantee. So there's probably three negatives or potential negatives that I could think about. Firstly, if you've got a mortgage on the property that you're going to use to provide as security for the family guarantee, then you and your child would have to use the same lender, which means they've either got to use your lender or you have to refinance to their lender. So something to think about. Secondly, providing a guarantee will eat into your borrowable equity. So if you've got plans to borrow for your own personal purposes, to build wealth and so forth, you're going to need to take that into account to see if that's going to impair your ability to do that. And lastly, whilst the guarantee is limited in dollar terms, so using the example that I previously used, $150,000 is all I'm ever going to be on the line for. Whilst it's limited in dollar terms, which is great, practically a lender can't sell only a portion of the property. So if my child defaults on their loan and doesn't remedy that default, so stops making the loan repayments, and then if the bank goes and sells that asset and that for less than what they owe the bank, my child owes the bank. If my child doesn't make up that shortfall, then it's going to rest on me as I've provided the guarantee. Now, if I can't make that payment from my own cash holdings, then the bank will go and sell my property. Now, selling an asset, whilst you get to keep the remaining sale proceeds, it is only a limited guarantee, your property's still sold. And so you've got to think about the consequences of that, capital gains tax, the impact on your own ability to build wealth, if it's an investment property and so forth. But remember that a couple of things have to happen before it gets to that point. That is that your child has to default, has to have been in default, and then secondly, they sold the property for less than what the child owes them. So again, you've got to just consider the likelihood of those two events occurring, and if they do, obviously, then you're on the hook for the shortfall. This is just a generic list of pros and cons. Of course, there could be other advantages and disadvantages that are specific to your own situation. So you certainly should get independent financial and legal advice to cover that off. Lastly, the other thing that naturally you can do to help your child is counsel them to buy well. So that is that buy a good quality investment grade asset or as close to an investment grade asset as their budget will allow. The first property you buy as an individual is arguably the most important one because of the compounding benefit of getting that right. So if they buy well and enjoy some capital growth, they can leverage and springboard off that growth onto their next property purchase or utilize the equity for additional investing. Whereas if they don't buy a good quality asset and they get no growth, then it's really up to their ability to save after-tax dollars to build wealth. So really fundamentally sound to get a really good quality property or as best quality property as possible. Of course, not all children listen to their parents, so do your best to really counsel them. So there you go. In summary, really the best way that you can help your kids is through education and talking about money and instilling some good, sound financial concepts. When the time's right, when their cash flow's right and they've got a genuine interest, then the next best way, next step of helping them in the best way is to provide a family guarantee. And so the only thing you need to do now in terms of positioning yourself so you can do that is to make sure you've got some equity and property to allow you to do that. And then lastly, obviously, trying to educate them to buy well and get a good quality asset. So there you go. I hope that's been useful. As always, links and additional commentary is in the show notes and the blog on our website. And until next week, bye for now.